Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 48 of Movie Rob Minute, Season 4, the daily podcast, where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again today for this lovely week of discussions is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Thank you for having me back.
I'm glad I didn't chase you away yesterday.
No, not even close. You'd have to work a lot harder than that.
Okay, good. So once again, I just want to give a quick disclaimer just to let everyone know that today, once again, we will be having a conversation with numerous topics of an adult nature based on everything that's going on in the movie. If you are offended by things like this, you can skip to later on in this episode, because halfway through the episode, that conversation will probably end, or, you know, maybe most of the way through this. I don't know. We might just have to like go quickly through the rest of the things that happen, you know, in this minute. You know, we have like 30 seconds of the diner scene, and then we have 30 seconds of a different scene. So we'll have to see how that will be split. It probably will not be 50-50 in this episode. So
yeah, you don't want to rush things at all.
Exactly. Not at all. You want to take your time. You want to get there in the proper amount of time. Not quickly. Minute 48 begins with Sally still building up to a conclusion as Harry continues to get even more uncomfortable, and ends with two groups of sledders coming straight for the screen. So yesterday, Heather and I had a very enlightening conversation about everything that's going on in this particular scene in the deli. Sally is in the throes of having a fake orgasm, which I hope is a fake orgasm at this point, at least, because she is in public.
I kind of hope it's not.
I don't know.
It's totally inappropriate, but I mean, I kind of hope.
Okay. All right. That's fine. That's true. We don't know where Dennis Quaid is. You know, maybe he's hiding off camera. Who knows? Could be. That's method acting, right? That's... Exactly.
Well, maybe I just need to start thinking about the faceless man with...
That's right. Who's ripping your clothes off. There you go.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. True. So she basically continues with... First of all, the minute begins with a shot of Harry's face, and we can just hear the sounds of Sally's, you know, fake orgasm in the background. And you can clearly see that he's getting more and more embarrassed as things are going. You know, and he starts to like shake his head a little awkwardly as she continues. So she continues screaming, yes, yes, oh, yes, 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 oh, yes, yes, yes. And she starts banging on the table and then really starts screaming, yes, 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 oh, 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 God, oh. And, you know, during this whole time, I love how the camera keeps showing us different patrons in the deli.
Yep.
You know, first of all, we see an elderly woman who we'll talk a little bit about her later, but that actually, you know what? I'm not even going to tell anyone who that woman is until later. Okay. She looks over. She's at the table next to them. She looks over. Then we see like a guy who, I don't know why I keep thinking that he looks maybe like Roger Ebert, like, or
a little bit.
Michael Moore. You know, it's like either
more towards that, I think. Yeah.
I mean, good. Neither one of them is credited, and I couldn't find a credit for this actor or stand-in or actually just patron of Katz's Deli at the time. And then behind him, there's a man who actually resembles to me a little bit like Morgan Freeman, even though I know it's not him. You know, and then we see like the short order chef looking over also. And, you know, as Sally is reaching towards her conclusion, okay, they give us a long shot so we can see everything going on in that entire area. You know, we see the... I wonder how many times they had to film this scene, you know, in order to get it right.
That's a really good question.
That's a lot of effort on an actor's part to
especially
have to...
when you're not actually achieving...
That's correct.
...working for there, too.
That's right. You know, and I mean, this doesn't look like the type of scene that they would do just once. You know, they obviously did this probably dozens of times.
Yeah, she had to with all the angles.
Right, where she had to then keep up, you know, her enthusiasm throughout each of them.
She did. And,
yeah. Well, we don't know. This could have just been one take that was perfect. You don't know.
True, too.
or at least the vocals could have been all from one take because obviously the camera shots keep changing. I actually give a lot of credit to the editor of this movie to be able to edit this scene so well.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem as if it jumps around.
No, it doesn't.
It
It's
seems
very
like
succinct. It feels like it's one cut. It pro like you said, it probably isn't, but it does feel like it's one cut, which it should, but it would be very, very difficult for it not to be. So yes.
I mean, the movie was edited by Robert Layton, who also did most of Rob Reiner's movies. He did A Few Good Men, he did Misery, he did Flipped, which was also, he did The Bucket List, rumor has it. He's pretty much the go-to guy for Rob Reiner to be his editor on things. The American President,
Oh, I love
North.
the American President.
The Princess Bride, Stand By Me. He's Rob Reiner's editor. Some directors have their editors that they always use, and apparently this is the one that she uses. Then we get another shot of Harry who like puts his head down a little bit in shame. Not really sure.
Yeah,
Everyone
he's
can
not
already
really
see that he's
making eye
there.
contact with anyone, but he's kind of looking at her, but trying not to look at her. But who else is he going to look at? It's very uncomfortable, but good.
And then we get another shot of this elderly woman with another friend at the table next to them. They're both just looking on and, clearly wondering to themselves, what is going on here? We'll get a verbal note on that a little bit later, but they're looking on. Sally then eventually, reaches her climax, finishes things off. She just quickly just changes her demeanor real quickly. She picks up a fork. Puts it in whether it's potato salad or coleslaw or something next to her, and then
With
just
a
puts that into her
grin the
mouth.
size of Nebraska on her face.
Yes,
She is quite
completely,
impressed and pleased with herself, as
completely,
she should be.
for sure. I mean, and the big question is that a bigger smile than what she would have if she
Well, I'd
really
like
had achieved
to know.
it, as opposed to faking
That would
it?
be good information to have, which Harry eventually will have and should share with all of us at the end of the movie when they're talking.
That is correct. Okay, so now we're going to get into a little bit of stats or
All
trivia
right, all right.
questions, I guess you can say. So anyone who's seen the recent movie Fletch, I Confess, will know the answer to
I have
this,
not.
but I don't know if you've seen it, so you have not. And I actually warned you back when we were, in the green room when we were recording Die Hard that you should see it for this. When we decided that we were going to be recording these episodes together. So what animal has the longest orgasm? This is actually a male.
Okay. I feel like I know this
Okay,
for
we're
some
talking about an
reason.
animal, not a human. We're not talking about a human, we're talking about an animal.
I'm gonna go with an elephant, but it's not.
The answer is a pig.
Ah! Well, that's what they get for tasting so good.
I wouldn't know. You got me on that one. I wouldn't know, and I'll never know. You don't have to apologize. That's fine. That's fine. After knowing this bit of information, I don't know if I would want to eat one, but that's a separate issue. My religion and conscience doesn't let me, so that's fine. I'm okay with it. There's enough good meat from cows and other animals that I can
I'll
eat,
say
so that's
something
fine.
that might get me beat up in my house, but since I'm the only one here right now, it's completely safe to say bacon is overrated.
All right, if you say
Yeah,
so, I wouldn't
I
know.
do. I do.
Okay, that's fair. So, how long do you think it takes an average for a pig to climax? A male pig?
Okay, so he has the longest of any animal.
Yes.
Let's go with 15 minutes.
You're really hitting things right on the nail.
Thought 20, and I'm like, that's a little bit too long. Oh,
Yes. And apparently, they have the ability to do it twice in a row.
those
So,
lucky pigs.
lucky pigs. I mean, they have recorded. So, there are some places that actually have the misinformation that a pig can orgasm for 30 minutes, when in fact, it can orgasm twice within that 30 minutes.
Either way, it's delightful.
I don't know. I don't know how that could work. That's just,
And one right after the other, no less.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about just the 15 minutes in the first place.
Seems exhausting, to be honest.
Yeah, no, but think about how the female pig must feel. You know, they have to
Oh.
sit there and wait.
Well, I hope it's enjoyable for the female pig. Now I feel like I need to research this and find out what's going on. I need to know.
Okay, you can do that and let us
Yes,
know tomorrow what
I
information you
will.
find out about
Because I
that.
want to know more. Yeah,
Yes, good. Isn't it wasn't that the quote in the 80s? You know, if you want to know more, go to the library or something like that.
the more you
There was something like that. The more you know, the more you know. That's right, with the star, right?
Yep.
There you go. That's right. No one can see you moving your hands that way.
That's
I
true.
Yes.
Had to
Okay,
guess.
so all right, we're now we have very interesting trivia. Okay, what is the world's record for both a man and a woman to how many orgasms they've been able to achieve in 1 hour?
Together, both of them?
No.
Separately, then.
Separately. What is the world's record for a man having orgasms within a period of an hour? And what is the most number of orgasms that a woman has had within an
Okay, I'm
hour?
gonna shoot for
That's been recorded.
okay, I'm gonna shoot for 40 for a woman, and I'm gonna say 15 for the man.
Okay, so for a man, it's 16. That's great. Okay, you're really, you know your sexual stats. I don't know. The fact that you know 16, it means that the man is having an orgasm every 3 or 4 minutes. That's just
That's a lot.
mind-boggling, you know, completely. Okay, but when you think of the fact that, wait, how much did you say for a woman?
I said 40.
Okay, the answer is, and you're gonna say this isn't true. The answer is 134.
Okay, I believe it. I believe it. I thought I was lowballing it, but I mean, I've heard those
134.
stories.
Think about that. That's 2.2 orgasms a minute.
Yeah, I've heard of women that just literally, I've heard women that can orgasm just from touching them. So, I mean, like touching their arm. So, yeah, it's obviously the exception rather than the rule,
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I believe it. I believe it. I do believe it.
Right. There's apparently a woman who claims that she beat that world's record and has had 138. You know, so she beat it by, was it four? So yeah, I mean, either way, that makes the number 16 minuscule, you know,
If you can
for
actually
men.
do that in an hour, why bother going to work or eating or doing anything else? I mean,
Correct.
it seems like it would diminish the rest of life. I
Yeah,
don't know.
seriously. I don't know. That's just you know, I think it would take away the specialness of it. I mean, for her, it would be great, but in general, if it's something, you know, it reminds me of the old joke, you know, that a guy is standing in line in front of waiting for the bus, and he keeps sneezing, and as he's sneezing, he like groans, and a woman behind him goes, "What's going on? What's wrong with you?" And he goes, "I have a problem. Every time I sneeze, I orgasm." And she goes, "Well, what are you doing to treat it? What are you using to treat it?" He goes, "Pepper."
Fantastic. Oh, I love it.
I
Excuse
thought
me.
you'd like that. I thought you'd like that one.
That was great.
It was very appropriate. What can I tell you?
I'll try and tell it, but I'll mess it up. I'm terrible at telling jokes.
Okay, so some other trivia. Okay, so what is the most bras removed within 1 minute?
Most bras removed in 1 minute?
Like, what's the world's record for the most bras removed in 1 minute from another
65.
person? 65? Wow. No, the answer to that is 20. But that's still, you know, some people have
Well,
trouble getting
usually
one
the bits
off.
are snapped. Okay, I'm thinking of snapping the bra.
Right. Okay. Some
Yeah,
sometimes,
yeah.
you know, people have trouble getting one off. Forget about
I
trying to
know,
get
but
20.
I'm a master of it. I could literally, if you just want me to pop the back of the bra, it's literally a second.
Okay.
Max.
Well, the world's record is someone doing it every 3 seconds, and he's able to
Which
get the
yeah, that makes more sense, especially if you have to take the whole bra off.
correct.
They
Exactly.
have weird world records for stuff.
Seriously, what is the world's record for the longest kiss?
Ew. I don't know. It's got to be hours, right? Oh, I don't
Yes.
know. 4, 5 hours, 6 hours.
46 hours and 24 minutes.
Why? Why? That's just gross. I knew that it was going to be longer than what I said, but I didn't want it to be because,
And they these people actually they were in a competition and they won a diamond ring
Yeah, whatever.
for doing that for the
Not
longest amount
worth
of
it.
time.
Not worth it. Not at all.
Okay.
For me, I'd rather have my lips.
I understand that. I found an interesting quote from Woody Allen that he said, "In my next life, I want to live backwards. I want to start out dead and finish off as an orgasm."
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
How many couples have the world's record for the most people getting married in the nude together? The biggest nude wedding. Well, how many couples do you
Oh,
think?
wow. I don't know. I feel like this would be pretty large. There's nudism is a big thing. I'm for it. I don't know. 10,000.
No, it's only 29.
29?
Yeah.
Really? That's it?
In 2003, there were 29 couples that chose to get married in a club in Jamaica. And the masked
Oh, get
wedding.
married. I was thinking naked people at the wedding. Okay.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
I misunderstood
Sorry.
the question.
What would you have
I still
come?
would have said higher than that.
Exactly.
I
I
would have
was
been
gonna say,
wrong. I would have
would
been
you have been
wrong.
closer? But probably not.
Yeah.
Okay. They did this on Valentine's Day completely in the nude, except for the fact that the brides were able to wear veils.
Okay, that seems silly. But okay.
Yeah.
Hey, sure,
And
why
then this
not?
article says, can you imagine the wedding photographs? I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't want them, but by all means, enjoy.
Exactly.
It's quite natural. It's kind of funny. I'm just curious what inspires these people to reach for these goals and work towards them. I mean,
They want to be in the world's record books. I don't know.
I know. I mean, I guess if you're going to, might as well make it be something sexual. At least you're getting pleasure out of it.
True.
I mean, there's that side of it. I'm not sure that's what I'd want to be known for,
No,
but
but there is
speaks
the
to a lot
aspect.
worse things too.
You know, it's the aspect. You know, people always say that Seinfeld has a great thing about the fact that it's hard for him to imagine that his parents had sex. He just thinks of them as having been really close friends who at one point in their life had sex. You know, that type of thing. But what it comes down to is we all know that everyone does it.
Yes.
It's not something that is a secret that that's what happens. You know, when you're at someone's wedding, you know that's what's going to happen that night. You know that people are going to hotels and going out and going on vacations, and that's what people do. You know, it's part of life. But you mentioned this earlier in the week that in some ways society is somewhat repressed about talking about these things.
Yes.
You know, or even thinking, not even just talking about thinking about it.
Yes.
You know.
Well, and for women, it's a complicated subject too. We're raised to think that, okay, well, in the Puritan society idealism, women wait till you get married, otherwise you'll be sullied, or at least wait till the guy that you fall in love with. And but then you're told, well, if you don't have sex with the guy, he's gonna dump you or cheat on you.
Right.
So women live in that limbo of constant confusion of what is the answer here? And there neither of those are the right answer is the correct answer. But we
Right.
do. We still make women feel bad for being sexual creatures. We punish them for not. We punish them if they are. And men are in other ways too, to where they're treated poorly for having feelings or for doing what they've always done and that kind of thing too. There's just no
Right.
conversation about it. And there's not necessarily a bad guy in the story either. It's just we should be talking about it more. So it's not awkward. I mean, that's one thing that I and this will probably be weird for some people, but my oldest son, he just moved out 2 months ago. He's almost 20 years old. He had no problem coming up to me and telling me when things were going on, and we had the conversation. It was open. It wasn't awkward. It was weird. It's never been strange. Any of those things. I mean,
Right. Okay.
it's like
And that's
too, you
fair.
know, the kids when they're a certain age, well, you know that they're having sex, right? I'm like, yes, they are. I admit I don't want to hear it. Like if we all
Right.
travel.
And let's hope they're being
And
careful, and
there's
that's
those
it, you
things,
know.
yes, which again, if you have good communication, then that's not a problem or an issue either. But
Correct.
yeah, But there's nothing wrong with that. I remember my husband's uncle asked. They went last winter and stayed at my dad's lake house that I was telling you about in Gladwin for like a week after Christmas. And just the two of them stayed up there. Well, who's their chaperone? Like, they're 19 years old. They can live on their own. I'm not going to chaperone them. I hope they have a great time and don't make any babies. What?
That's right.
Yeah. He looked at me like I was out of my mind. I'm like,
And make sure to clean up after yourself. And that's it, you
yeah, pretty much. And they were very responsible and they're good kids. And I love them both. And I'm very happy. They've also been a couple now for like 3 or 4 years. So yeah, it's just one of those things where we just got to talk about it more and normalize it instead of making it so awkward, because it doesn't have to be.
Right. I completely agree with you on that.
Like you said, everybody does it. Well,
That's right. Exactly. Well, let's put it this way. Anyone who has kids has done
exactly. Exactly, which is sometimes kind of funny.
You know, you just think about, there are parents and grandparents and great grandparents, and you can go as far back as you want. So doesn't that that's the way it is. That's the way of the world. That's,
It's funny though when you think about your grandparents. Like I remember we were watching and had no idea what direction the movie was going in. We usually watch things like A River Runs Through It, Out of Africa, those kinds of movies with my grandparents. My brother and I would go stay. We watched The Piano with them when I was
Oh
maybe,
my gosh.
I was like 11 years old and my brother was 9. It was the most uncomfortable moment of my entire life. Now, no matter what, that's not going, no matter how open you are sexually, that movie is not okay to watch with your kids or grandkids.
That's right. That's right. I saw Disclosure with my parents.
I did I was older though. I was a little bit older, but still.
So I was older too, but I still was embarrassed seeing it with my parents because I didn't know what it was about. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, it is. It's not, it's like, okay, I know you guys do that. That's good. I'm happy for you. But also there, I feel like there's a healthy line where you don't need to cross it. But yeah.
That's right. Completely. Completely.
Don't watch The Piano with your children ever at any
That's
age.
right. Well, the piano reminds me of there was an episode of Mad About You where Paul's mother, constantly wanted to go see the piano for that reason.
Oh, I haven't watched that in forever.
And he felt very uncomfortable about the fact that his mother is talking about, Harvey Keitel naked. So, it was a great
See,
episode.
okay with the conversation about her wanting to see Harvey Keitel naked, not wanting to sit next to her while she's enjoying him being
That's
naked.
correct. There is a big difference there, completely.
That's it for me.
Right. I'm always shocked when I watch old movies, from the 20s and 30s and 40s, where you see the way that the people are acting and you see that there isn't much difference as to how they acted then and how they act now. Between men and women, and that men, are constantly running after the women and stuff like that. And we have this image in our mind that in older movies, it's like our grandparents. It's like they didn't do things back then. But you know what? Even during Shakespeare's time, that's what they did.
Kind of did.
Have you ever seen either the movie or any of the movies that were made of the play Inherit the Wind, or seen the play?
No.
So it's all about the Scopes Monkey Trial, and one of the arguments that the defense brings is that they're talking about whether you can believe everything in the Bible or not. Is everything in the Bible true, or are there parts of it that are not discussed, that we don't know about, because it just has in there and so and so beget so and so and beget so and so and beget so and so. So the big question that the lawyer asks the other lawyer, he says, what does this mean, begetting? And he says, well, that's what people do. And he says, well, did they beget back then the way that they beget today? And he goes, yeah, the procedure is the same. Or the technical aspect, I think he said the technical aspects are, it's pretty much done the same way, which basically tells us that for thousands upon thousands of years, that's the way people have been doing it. Nothing has changed. You don't need to find a way to perfect it. And as you and I have discussed over the last few days, the idea is that everyone has to find what's right for them. And communication is the most important thing. That you tell your partner what's good for you, and they tell you what's good for them, and then everyone can enjoy themselves. Unlike what Sally is doing here, because she is just trying to prove to Harry that she knows how to fake an orgasm.
It's which a very, then, very good point.
Yes.
But yes.
Yes, but exactly. Do it. That's right. Exactly. Now, it makes me wonder, was she doing this with Joe? Is this the problem here? You know, is this why things didn't work with Joe? I mean, they wanted to have sex on the you know, on the kitchen floor. But, you know, it's just a cold Mexican, because it's a cold Mexican tiles. So,
well, because they didn't have a hot and steamy relationship didn't mean that she had to fake it. I think, correct. I think if you've watched someone do it in a movie or you've experienced it yourself, it's not probably too difficult to fake. I could probably do one right here too. But the question that I think is interesting is later, which, I mean, if you're watching this podcast, you've probably seen the movie, Harry and Sally might get together. Now, is Harry going to wonder if she's faking it with him?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she acts differently than she does here. And if that's the case, then he knows but the fact that she's able to fake it like this shows that she knows how to fake it. And that means that she's sure done it. She's done it. You know, this isn't something that's new. She didn't
Sally
just on the
me
spot.
As someone who would. Sally strikes me as, I'm ready to go to bed now, so let's get this over with.
Right. She's filing her nails, saying, all right, let's just move along.
Are you done yet? Is it over? Yeah. It's not? Okay. Well, I'll pretend then. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that I makes agree. A lot of sense. And then right after that, we, you know, I mentioned the fact that she, you know, takes her fork and, you know, has that great grin on her face and eats her potato salad or coleslaw or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the shot changes and we see the waiter come over to this elderly woman. And the woman just looks at the waiter and goes, I'll have what she's having.
Right.
Now, what's really funny is that even possible?
No. No, I don't think so. Oh,
it's a great line. It works really well, but you know, if you're trying to take it literally, it just doesn't work.
It doesn't.
It's funny. It's great. Now, do you know who this woman is?
I have no idea who she is.
Okay, this is Estelle Reiner.
Oh,
this is Rob Reiner's
mother.
Oh,
that makes it even better. Oh, I love having that information. I can't wait to tell my mom this if she didn't already know it.
So Estelle Reiner was born June 5th, 1914, and passed away on October 25th, 2008. She is known as the matriarch of one of the leading families in American comedy. You know, she was the wife of Carl Reiner and the mother of Rob Reiner. She met her husband while the two of them were working up in the Catskills, and they got married in 1943 and have three children, Rob, Lucas, and Annie. She became a cabaret singer in her 60s.
Good for her.
And performed until just not long before her death. She studied theater with Lee Strasberg.
Oh.
And also a woman named Viola Spolin, who was the American grandmother of improvisation. So she herself is also a comedian. You know, this line that she says here, I'll have what she's having, is ranked as the 33rd best movie quotation on the AFI's list of top 100 movie quotes.
I accept that.
And it's right behind Casablanca's Round Up the Usual Suspects. We went into the whole list a few weeks ago, so you know, I'm not going to go into the list again, but you know, I like the fact that it's right after a Casablanca line, which works really well.
Yes. Well, this movie's romantic, too.
So she died in 2008 at the age of 94.
Oh, wow.
Personally, I find it really interesting that Rob Reiner would cast his own mother in something like this, in this type of role. You know, that he wants his mother to be sitting there. You know, we talked about it before. You know, that there are certain things that you know happened, but you try to block them out. You don't want to think about the fact that your parents have had sex.
Yeah.
You know, and he's now cast his mother to sit in a booth next to Meg Ryan, who is doing take after take after take of a fake orgasm.
Yeah. I guess, again, too, I guess it comes down to dynamics of family. That's something I could see. That's something I would do with my mom. My mom would have great sense of humor about that sort of thing. She'd be hilarious, and I would have no issues with that because it's not a real orgasm. We all know what they are. Yeah, that I would be fine with that with my mom. I would be 100%. Okay. But I could also see, how that would not be okay for other people. But yeah.
Correct.
I mean, it's not like it's an actual sex scene. Yes, Meg Ryan's sitting there faking it, but it's also hilarious. And yeah, there's not actually anything. I feel like, and I think that's why it's okay to watch. And I think this is part of the reason why my parents didn't care. My parents were very lenient with what I watched anyway as a kid. But I think that's why this scene was never something that they felt like they needed to shield me from when I was a kid.
Right.
I was allowed to see movies with violence, but they were a lot more careful with sexual stuff for the most part. Until I was like seven, then they were like, whatever, go ahead, watch Basic Instinct. But, not that bad, but yeah, I don't know. I think the humor attached to it is probably okay. But again, you still don't want to, don't want to think of your parents doing that. Like, I don't want to sleep in my parents' bed when I go stay at their house ever. I'd rather sleep on the floor. It's fine. But even if I change the sheets, I don't care. I don't want to do that.
The weekend after my first wedding, so my wife and I were at my in-laws, and they wanted us to sleep in their room. They moved into a different room, and they wanted to sleep in the room, and I refused.
Yes.
I just said, I said to my wife at the time, and she was adamant that she wanted to sleep in their bed.
No.
And I'm like, I don't.
No.
Not going to happen.
No.
No.
It's funny, but it's true. I totally get you. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. We had a lot of communication issues, and that's one of the reasons why our marriage lasted 2 years. But whatever. That's besides the point. We're not going into that. But that's a perfect example of why, you know. But, it's very strange.
I know people that do it all the time, too. I have no judgment of it. But for me, I'm not doing it. We just went and stayed somewhere not so long ago.
Right.
Mike and I were like, nope, we'll stay in the guest bed, even though it's terrible for both of our backs. So for 5 days, we stayed in the guest bed instead of their bedroom. It's fine. Yeah.
Right.
It's fine.
Okay. That makes sense.
But I have no problem with my mom watching someone fake an orgasm. Yeah. That's totally hilarious.
Right. I don't know if I would feel uncomfortable watching this with my mother. I never even thought about it.
I mean, sex when humor's attached to it doesn't flabbergast me at all. It's just funny. I think it's very, very situational. Like I said, for me specifically, I mean, I'm fairly certain the first time I watched Basic Instinct, I just joked about it, but I think the first time I saw it was with my mom. Now, I wouldn't want to watch it with my dad. Uh-huh. I don't want to watch that or Disclosure with my dad. Don't.
Well, because he's a cop. He's a cop.
But yeah. I don't know. It's definitely got to be situational.
Okay, that's fair. I completely agree with you on that. So now we leave the diner. That's it. No more no more adult discussions. We're
sexy time over. Come back to the podcast.
Exactly. And then we get a shot of Central Park in the winter. We see there's a lot of snow. We see in the distance a carriage with a couple, you know, going through the winter wonderland. We see people walking in the snow, and then the music begins, and we get to actually hear Winter Wonderland performed by Ray Charles, who does a great rendition of it here.
It's one of my favorites.
Yes. Then we get a shot of Rockefeller Center with the Christmas tree. What do you know about the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center? You know anything about it?
Well, I know they put it up every year. It's iconic, and it's a big effing deal. But yeah, the whole Christmas in New York thing. Well, New York is always, especially in movies, felt like the centerpiece of the United States, particularly in movies. If anything's going to happen, it's in New York. If not, then maybe L.A. or maybe D.C. But for the most part, it's New York. I've never been to New York City. So all of this for me is always, I feel like, something I kind of want to experience, but part of me also doesn't. I want it to stay in my little... Okay,
I
good! Thank you.
When I was in the States... That's right. When I was in the States last summer, I was in New Jersey and I was in like upstate New York, but I just refused to go into the city. I just had no desire to go there.
Yeah. I don't want to have reality crush my fantasy of what it's, what movie.
I've been there before, but I had no desire to go during that time, but whatever. So they put up this Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center and they always put it up on the Wednesday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And ever since 1997, they actually broadcast the lighting of it live. Usually the mayor shows up, and they estimate that there are usually 125 million people that visit it during the 2 months that it is there, because they leave it up until mid-January. It's a spruce that is anywhere between 69 to 100 feet, and it's been a national tradition every year for them to put up a tree there since 1933. So we're talking 90 years
That's really
they've been
cool.
doing it. The reason that it can only be 100 feet is because when they're transporting the tree there, the narrowness of the streets only allow them to be able to get something that's the height of 100 feet through them. I mean, it's just pretty amazing the way the
It's cool. It's really neat. Even though I've never experienced it, it still feels like a part of America's holiday tradition. And it's
Yeah, I
lovely.
understand
Yeah,
that.
if I ever break my little snow globe idea of New York, which I'd also like to go in the winter, I would love to go see it.
Right. Okay, that's fair. So in 1942, they had three trees. Sorry, they had four trees. They had one large tree and then three more smaller trees, with one was red, one was white, and one was blue, in order to, show their
Patriotism.
patriotism at the time, correct? In 1944 and 1945, they actually couldn't light it because of blackout regulations.
Oh, wow.
So those are the 2 years that they had a tree, but they weren't able to light them.
Well, good on them for still doing the tree. That's kind of.
Yeah, and in 2001, right after the September 11th attacks, they decorated it. They decorated the full tree in red, white, and blue colors, also to show the patriotism of the day or of the season. So, and then we get some more shots of New York in the winter. We see ice skaters in Rockefeller Center ice skating ring. We see like a department store window that has like a depiction of a family. Maybe it's supposed to be Bob Cratchit's family, I'm not sure. Then we see like a whole bunch of people sledding in a park. It gives a very wintry feeling, the way that the whole
Yeah,
thing.
I love
Yeah.
it. I love it. And I don't feel like movies do this as much anymore. I love these little montages. They're actual little bits of, and it doesn't take that long. I mean, we'll roll over to it in the next episode too, but I mean, you have these little montages and it gives you a real sense and feel of the
Yes.
season, of also time passing. And this movie, it's very important to note that time has
Yes.
passed. But I love that. And I love seasonal stuff in movies and TV shows too. If you're going to do any kind of holiday special, whether it's something I celebrate or not, I get excited about it. I don't know why. It feels like something unique and cool is happening. And I don't know. It's just always something. Maybe it's just a little bit of the kid in me still, but I love this part of the movie. It's one of my favorite parts. I like it. Oh, I think the next episode is where you get into the tree and whatnot. But yeah,
Exactly. I mean,
I love this
they do
part.
a great job of showing the transition that their friendship started in the fall and now we're in winter. They've clearly established it and they did a great job of it.
Yep, it's great.
Yeah.
And they do it again. I think it's a really clever way to pass the time, to feel like you're a part of the surroundings. It's and I wish movies would do it more though. It's definitely something that they do a lot in 80s films,
Yeah,
and I miss
that's
it.
true. All right, do you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
I do
Okay.
not.
So the script is a little more descriptive of her orgasm at the beginning of this minute. They say, God, honey, honey. Oh my God, honey. Oh God, oh God, oh God, God, thank you. And then it says, Sally finishes, takes another bite of her sandwich, and smiles innocently. Now, I like the fact that she doesn't take a bite of her sandwich in the movie, and that she just uses a fork to take a small little
Celebratory bite.
savoring taste,
Yeah.
exactly,
Yeah.
to show it. And it says, "Hold on, Harry, who is in shock, and the rest of the customers and waiters who couldn't help but overhear Sally's performance." And then it says, "Older woman customer to a nearby waiter, I'll have what she's having." And then they don't even mention anything about the various the montage. Montage isn't listed here at all.
Oh,
So
so
it works well.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I'm glad that they, whether it was Meg Ryan's choice or not too, I'm glad that they didn't use as much verbalizations of actual words, like the honey right. and all yeah. of those things. It works perfectly as it is. It doesn't need all the yeah. extra.
For sure. For sure. She gives the best fake orgasm in any movie that I've seen.
I agree.
All right. So every Wednesday we have a segment called Harry Burns Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five Billy Crystal performances. So what have you got for us, Heather?
Oh, I love Billy Crystal. Number five for me is Running Scared. I almost forgot about that movie with Gregory Hines. It's so much fun. I need to rewatch it and just enjoy it.
Deuteronomy.
Yes. It's probably been 20 years since I've watched it. I have to watch it again. I'm excited.
Yes, you should. You should. I love that movie. I think it's great. It's hilarious. I think Jimmy Smits is a bad guy, but the movie itself is just great.
Yes. And there's great chemistry between Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Number four for me is The Princess Bride. He's hilarious in it. And it's The Princess Bride. It's a perfect movie. Number three, Monsters, Inc. I love Mike Wazowski. Everybody can love whatever they want about Monsters, Inc. Mike Wazowski is it for me. He makes the movie for me. I love it. And even Adam loves it now, too. He just says it all the time. Mike Wazowski. I'm like, yes. Yes, come, my little seedling. I will teach you how to be a movie aficionado. number two is City Slickers. And I think it's still in its wrapper. I don't think I've taken it out, which means it's probably been 20 years since I've watched it too. I need to rectify that. Yes, I love it. I don't know why. It's a wonderful movie.
Yeah, it really is.
So City Slickers, number two. And number one is When Harry Met Sally. I love this movie so much. It's an absolute.
Yeah.
It has a special place in my heart. It brings me nothing but joy every time I watch it.
Just like Sally.
Touché. Well done.
All right, Heather, you want to once again tell people how they can find Heather Baxendale?
Yes, you can follow me as HB Walsh on Instagram and Facebook. That is my pen name. You can find my book, The Prophecy Part 1 Lost, on Amazon. And if you'd like to check out my podcast that I do with Mark Armstead, it is Word of Hellmouth. It is a Buffy rewatch podcast. You can find it on all of those fun streaming services that offer podcasts for free.
Okay, cool. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll definitely have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.